We're on.
We're on.
Hey, everybody.
That was anticlimactic.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do some big announcement.
Welcome to the Chicken Scully Show. 10 dozen minutes of $100 jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we it was my wife's birthday this weekend, and so we, me, Scully Amplitude, the pretentious artist and his wife, and my wife all went to Mexico, and spent basically the entire trip in strip clubs.
Yeah, basically, and today's music will be brought to you from music that Mexican strippers really, really like to play over and over and over again.
Yeah, the one strip club that we spent the most time at had exactly three girls working, and they each had exactly two songs. Eek, There's a Lure, and my dupe said last week, there are a handful of decent Nickelback songs, but Rockstar is not one of them. And I don't believe you. I think that's a multi of somebody. Is it a multi of a naked Jew?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I thought Eek, There's a Lure, and my dupe was somebody's multi.
We should find out and then disable him.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
And the Duminator was, I think, talking to Riff. Holy crap, you guys like Mindless Self-Indulgence too? Sweet.
The band or the practice?
Yeah. And I'm more of a fan of Mindless Self-Pollution than Self-Indulgence.
See, that's something that always bothers me when reading, high works of literature like Letters to Penthouse, where it'll say, like, she masturbated me. Like, masturbation means self-pollution, so you can't masturbate anybody else.
No.
But you can jack somebody else off.
Yeah. See, that makes sense.
As I'm sure Amplitude could have found out if he had had a little extra money.
The
strippers in Mexico are very, they're very enthusiastic. They're very affectionate. They're very hands-on.
And they really liked me.
Yeah,
only if you're Amplitude.
They were big fans of Amplitude, yeah, or my wife. My wife and Amplitude were definitely the big winners here tonight at the strip club.
Yeah, I just continually watched my offered tips being ignored, which was kind of, like, maybe they were concerned that I was spending too much money or something.
Yeah,
they were just looking out for me.
Yeah, they only... I also pretty frequently would hold out a dollar, wait for the stripper to come over and, do something entertaining, and then take my dollar, and half the time they just left the stage, and I held the dollar out.
Sometimes they had just gotten on the stage, too.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like, wow, I must have gotten drunk one night and bought a strip club in Mexico and told them, look, some days I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to manage, but I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I'm just going to develop this elaborate series of, gestures that I do that indicates, when I hold out a dollar, that means that the girl on stage should ignore me and immediately replace herself with another dancer.
We should point out that of the three girls in that strip club, only two of them actually stripped.
Yeah, the third one. There were a lot of theories flying around, many that she was currently in the process of lactating, and so she couldn't show anybody her boobs. Perhaps she was a recent breast cancer survivor and actually did not have any boobs.
I just thought that she was lost, because she would come on stage fully clothed and then kind of look around and go, oh, I'm on stage at a strip club. I guess I should dance around this pole for a while, but I'm not taking off my clothes. That would be wrong.
She'd wear jeans.
Maybe she had
a lot of her dances.
Maybe she had a split personality, and one half of the personality was like a very devout Christian, and the other half was a stripper.
It could be.
And that other personality took over the one time she actually took her jeans off.
Could be.
Yeah. But remember, kids, don't go to strip clubs.
Yeah, they're bad for you.
Especially in America.
They're bad for the girls.
I had a fantastic... Mexico was really, really good to me. It was.
Didn't you... You made out with a crazy girl. You got proposition for oral sex.
You
bought a new hat.
Yeah. And then there was the other lap dance in the last bar, which I can't remember the name of that last
Las
bar.
Las Dunas,
yeah. And that was just... not so much a lap dance as just, hey, you paid me $20, now let's go in this room and make out for a while, and I'm going to put your hand in places where I bet you didn't think it was supposed to go, and you couldn't count to 10 if you wanted to, kind of thing.
I really hope that you washed your hands.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Before and after.
Gargled with turpentine.
Isn't soul the same thing, really, when you think about it?
In other news, Amplitude is covered in some kind of strange rash right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wish we had the webcam on so you guys could see
open sores on his lips.
Strong leak bowl.
Yeah.
It was a good time. $100. $100 if I only had
$100. Yeah, yeah. There was only one of us that actually got propositioned with an offer of just a direct and straightforward offer of prostitution. That's the nice thing about strip clubs, you know? It is just a very, very honest, very straightforward interaction between a man and a woman.
I mean, they're not going to say, are you looking for a good time? Or do you... Are you in the mood for a cup of coffee? Wink, wink. And it's like, I will put my mouth on your penis, and you in turn will give me $100.
Or pesos. She wasn't clear.
See, 100 pesos was kind of
a bargain. Yeah, 100 pesos, that's a deal. That's friend prices.
100 pesos to get herpes, that's awesome.
You will not, if you find cheaper herpes anywhere else.
And are neither of you going to say the line?
Right, you did get the big dick. Nice for pussy.
It was the most surreal thing. She's giving me a lap dance, and she says, basically she was asking me if she could go back to my hotel room. And I was trying to explain to her, and she had very broken English, which in my head sounded like my mail order bride, Sasha. It just sounded Russian to me. And she was trying to say, can we go back to your room and party? And I was trying to explain to her, there's 6 people staying in this place, and no, that's not an option. And at this point, money hadn't been discussed yet. So then she was like, well, how about here? Do you want to party here? I'll give you everything. And she has both her hands are in my pants when she said the line, you have big dick, C is good for my pussy. And that was interesting. And
you didn't throw the C in there before. That's no. Yeah, that makes me hear Edward G. Robinson. Like, you got a big dick, eh?
Yeah, that was
that's my pussy, eh?
And then she says, well, then we could do it here, and proceeds to take me to another lap dance booth, which was exactly
identical
like,
to the other, yeah.
It was further down the hallway, and it was across from you, but you couldn't see me because you were getting a dance at the time, and you were hidden from view, but I see you, and I feel like I'm in a hostel. I'm walking on this row of...
Yeah, like you're about to pay $100 to kill me with a drill or something.
That I would have paid $100 for it. Yeah, and then she shows me a chair. She says, see, right here, I thought I was going to get the taste test, but that didn't happen. And then I said, no, thank you. And I was just really curious at that point as to where this was going to go. Mm-hmm. And she was Luna. She really liked the Pixies.
She really liked that one song by the Pixies.
Yeah.
I think if you were to, even if you spoke fluent Spanish, if you were to ask her what her 3 favorite Pixie songs were, she would say, where is my mind, where is my mind, and where is my mind?
Maybe she was just a big fan of Fight Club, or maybe she was just an anarchist, and it reminded her of the destruction of credit card companies. And
maybe she was actually you. Oh wait, that spoiled the end of Fight Club. Sorry.
And maybe we would have walked in that room later to see you with $100 bill laying on the floor, just bent over in your own lap. it could happen.
We haven't explained the best part of the strip bar yet, though, was the fact that it was the nerd strip bar.
Oh right, yeah. The first night when we were in there, they were playing Harry Potter 5 on the screen,
and immediately went to the next one. It was one Harry Potter after another. And the second night we go in there, and they're playing the Lord of the Rings in order, and the Fellowship of the Ring is on. There's a dancer on stage, and me and Scully are just glued on the TV.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Well, I wanted to hear what Gandalf's little speech to Frodo was like in Spanish, because it was subtitled.
Right.
So, yeah, it took a good 5 minutes for me to even notice there was a girl on the stage.
I wanted to see the fly, you fools line, and I don't remember what it was. It was something... Tontos.
Yeah.
we're sitting there, and it's like, I'm yelling, you shall not pass! And then I realize, like, in my peripheral vision, there is a dancer on the pole that is right between me and the television staring at me like, what are you doing? And Scully's yelling, you shall not pass in Spanish. It was such a good time.
Now, that's a club that we had been in before, and the first time that we went in there a couple of years ago, the TVs were showing some kind of horrible porn.
Yeah, just
like
just
goats that only
women. Yeah, wide open anus close up. And then the time after that, it was some weird like semi-porn version of Blind Date. It was. I think it was actually Blind Date. It's just that they were also having sex on camera. Hmm. So I don't know if there's like some version of Blind Date that you can buy on DVD that's like
too hot for TV.
Yeah, too hot for TV. Anyway. So yeah,
that was Mexico.
Everybody wants us to talk about the bug exploit and the disabling, and I think we should just keep talking about Mexico.
Mexico, yeah.
Be like, yeah, the other thing that was nice about Mexico is bought some stuff made out of metal. For my pesos, and had fresh churros, by the way, are delicious.
They were. I was a little worried about them, though. I was a little worried because they were sort of cold and the dough was still raw in the middle of them.
You didn't get the fresh ones.
They're hot.
Did he cook yours?
No, he didn't cook mine in front of me. I was a little worried about eating raw dough in Mexico.
Mm. But the churro extrusion device is incredible.
Like that weird grease gun that he's... I didn't know what was in that.
Like a thing the size of a... Or the shape of a hypodermic needle, kind of, but...
The size of a jackhammer.
Yeah, that he would just brace against his stomach and just pull this thing in using both arms and extrude the churro dough. And I just wondered, like... I don't think the entertainment potential of that would easily dissipate.
You don't?
No. I think, you know, I would make churros for myself and my entire neighborhood, and then I would start putting other stuff in that thing.
And you would just start laying aside churros for the winter?
No, I'd fill it with cement and make churro-inspired sculptures and fill it with Play-Doh.
And make a mess.
Fill it with cream of wheat and confuse the shit out of people.
Oh, boy. XMUX has a great item of the month, but way to totally ruin its thunder with the bookshelf. Yeah, thanks, Smoot.
I'm glad that for one brief shining moment you were like, nah.
This computer is weird, Amplitude.
Yeah, thanks.
We're actually considering changing our tagline to Disappointing X Smoot X since 2006.
Is that when Smoot started playing?
I don't know.
Or is that just when we started to suck? That's when we jumped the shark.
Right. I agree with you when you said, you know what else has jumped the shark? The phrase, to jump the shark.
The Pretender said, the new Mr. Store item will still work if somebody that was in Bad Moon eagerly used the skill before thinking, won't it? Yeah, it will. The only thing that happens in Bad Moon is that you can't see the bookshelf or use the bookshelf. You could use it, despite the fact that you couldn't see it when it first rolled out, but then I fixed that. As I'm sure several people are interested in, I fixed two Infinite Meat bugs within about 12 hours of each other. One of which was introduced by me like 4 or 5 days ago, and one of which had been there for basically forever. And who knows how much meat has been produced as a result of it? It's very clever. But yeah, ironically. Ironically, the exploit worked by auto-selling Mr. Exploiters. Ironic. It worked by auto-selling anything. It just especially worked because Mr. Exploiters had a huge auto-sell.
Gotcha.
Right. So, a lot of accounts got disabled today for repeatedly and without remorse abusing Infinite Meat Bugs and doing... the exact thing that we do not want people to do, which was to just go apeshit spreading the meat around and making it so that there's really nothing that we could do to recover from the damage that's done. So, yeah, those people can, that thing where you die in a fire.
Oh.
Die in a fire. Yeah, that's it.
So people have been messaging me asking why a bunch of these people were disabled, and I explained it as best I could, and seems like the only remaining concern is, well, some people had, loans out to the people of just stuff that they were doing without using the secure trading system, saying, I loaned them 250 million meat as collateral for the rares or something, and can I get that back? And that's kind of no.
I mean, and the theory with collateral is that it is designed... to, protect you in exactly this sort of situation. So,
yeah. But the other question is, if these people have some rares that should still be in circulation. Are we going to try and put them back? And I think we're kicking around the possibility of doing something like that.
Yeah. We had a conversation about it earlier today where my fear is that if we do it once, everybody's going to sort of demand that we do it again. Scully's you know, totally justifiable response is, well, you know, it doesn't matter if they do or not. We will decide whether we want to and do it. Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, we may do it may be the case that if the contents of the people's inventories that were disabled, and there was not a lot of stuff. Mostly they were just sort of wreaking havoc rather than collecting stuff. You know, we might look at it and decide that Uncle P gets to fish some stuff out of those particular corpses.
And people are primarily concerned about hand turkeys, and I don't know if there were any in there.
Yeah, I don't know. There are definitely a lot of unused hand turkeys that I have not bothered looking at exactly where they are. So I don't think that those are gone yet.
Yeah.
So
I also think that it's not really something that's going to bother us too much if they're gone. Like, that kind of the nature of collectibles is there are a limited number, and some of the people who want them can't have them.
It's, you know, people have said, though, you know, there are a lot of people who the only familiar that they don't have is the hand turkey, and that, you know, the fact that there were some in the mall for hundreds of millions of meat gave those people hope that they knew was false, but hope, nevertheless, that they would eventually be able to get one, and just there not being any is a blow to morale, which, you know, whereas we don't necessarily care about the hand turkey market, we do care about morale, so if it turns out that there were any hand turkeys on disabled accounts, then we'll probably end up throwing those in the raffle house. And but like I said, I know that there for a long time have been significantly more hand turkeys in the game than there were in the mall, not put into terrarium. So I don't know. The move says, with summon spells now cast from the bookshelf, I think it'd be a good idea to allow us to use MP regen items at the bookshelf itself. I think a better idea would be, as I should have known that people were going to demand, just allowing the adding another section to the skills page and the quick skills menu that let you use your bookshelf from your skills menu. Ooh, we should also make the Golden Arches a tome. Yeah. So screw you, people with snow cones. You want some Dr. Lucifer? So you can summon some more candy hearts. Screw you! You can't. But no, not really. We did talk about the having that kind of, you know, possibility space for.
It would be really difficult to add in non-Mr. Store content that was that fit in that mechanic.
Yeah, just because of the high cost of it. If you do have Mr. Store stuff, like, yeah, you know. Maybe someday there will be a quest that will take you 100,000 turns to complete, and your reward for that will be something that's equivalent to. Yeah.
And I have less sympathy for people thinking that somehow the Librem of Candy Hearts became less valuable with this ad, or that if we add another tome, it makes the Tome of Snow Cone Summoning less valuable, or any permutation of that doesn't make very much sense for me.
It seems like a lot of this might have had to do with the sort of recent big influx of meat from bugs, but the prices of the candy heart librams shot up significantly as a result of this item of the month coming out, which was the opposite of what I expected to happen. And I think it's the opposite of what a lot of people expected to happen, which is why a lot of people were resistant to the idea of the bookshelf in the first place. And I say a lot of people, and that's not really accurate at all, because, like, I honestly feel like if 75% of the people on the forums are against a change, that does not necessarily mean that more than 10 or 15% of people in the game are against it.
Yeah.
But if only 5% of the people on the forums are against a change and everybody else is excited about it, that probably is more indicative that, you know, it's just not going to be an unpopular or really damaging change. So, I don't know. I feel like people are happy about the bookshelf thing. I like it because it opens up some design space for us. We are definitely open to the possibility of subtle alteration to the way the tome thing works. Because I'm I am much happier with the Librem mechanic there than I am the Tome mechanic, and I think if we made it so the snow cones were summoned individually, as somebody suggested in the forums, and this is, I'm not sure if I saw that and then thought, hey, that's a good idea, or if I saw that and thought, oh yeah, I was thinking I might do that, but make it so the snow cones are summoned one at a time. And if you have tomes, you can use your tomes three times, or maybe we crank it up at some point if we add another tome, just to you know, like, hey, we sort of, you know, for those of you who think that it was a nerf to the snow cone tome, look, it was not. It was a buff, or it was a fren, which I guess a sharpening. Neon Rev says, so I was looking at my account screen today, and imagine my surprise when I saw this account will not be deleted from inactivity at the bottom of the page. I know that I've yet to donate, and to the best of my knowledge, I've never touched a donation item. Is there by chance a way to not get deleted that I'm unaware of? Not complaining or anything. It is possible that some item, for a long time, like Hanakimbo dreidels would mark you no delete.
Huh.
For some reason, like, when I was going through the list of items initially and marking which ones were Mr. Store items, I just screwed up. And there are some things. It used to be that the tomes were not things that would mark you Mr. Store by being in inventory, but only if you used them. But then I thought that kind of sucks, because if somebody picked up the tome and didn't care about the skill but just had it to sell, you know, the goal is to not destroy donation content ever from inactivity, and so that's that got changed. But, you know, again, I could have screwed up and marked something Mr. Store that's not supposed to be, but I do need you. The Move's also asking about, let's see. No, I already read that. Mongol Cat says, the Viva La Mask and the new Champagne Poppers still trigger the Omphaloskepsis running away effect. I could have sworn that I fixed that. But I'll take a look at it. QOV says, as bookshelves gather more tomes and grimoires, please consider making a terse mode for the bookshelf without the explanation, so the summon buttons all fit on one screen. Sure.
We should also add a curmudgeonly mode for the bookshelf, where it has the same information, but just really cranky and...
Right. Also, could you please fix it so that if you visit the tutorial before the council tells you to, the quest doesn't go to your current quest log? The bird is getting sick of me. Yeah, I really need to fix that. That's been busted for a long time. Chemistron says, actually, if somebody would send in a bug report that details exactly what you have to do to get it in that screwed up state, that would help me a lot, because then I would not have to go back and develop an entire understanding of the way that works in order to fix it. Chemistron asks if it's possible for stuffed gray blobs to turn into the new item of the month combat items. It has been a long, long time since I touched the list of combat items that the blobs can turn into, and I really need to go through and do it again. It was way pre-NS13. I'm going to go ahead and say, well, I don't know. You know, the Doppelshifter can turn into Mr. Store familiars, but it is a Mr. Store familiar. Like, I don't know if it sort of cheapens the content if something that you could get outside of Mr. Store allows you to experience that. Because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could always just buy the combat item in the mall.
Yeah, what is the mechanic for the stuffed gray blob?
It is like the stuffed Doppelshifter. It turns into a random combat item when used
in combat.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there's a problem with.
You don't actually get the.
Yeah,
item.
I don't think there's a problem with like a divine blowout popping up in combat. There are so many combat items that.
Yeah, the odds of it happening is.
Mm-hmm.
I like those things. I like just totally random stuff. I'm not saying that, you know, I like totally random stuff. I'm saying I like things that are totally random.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely need to sit down and with a list of combat items and figure out which ones make sense. There are some that you just can't do this. Like, the way the code works, it is impossible for one of those things to turn into an item that gives you a free runaway, for instance, because of the way that that's handled.
Naked Jew says, yes, for the fifth time, I am Eek, there is a lure in my dupe.
Okay.
Sorry, Naked Jew.
Sorry that you like Nickelback.
Yeah. We did have fun, though, singing along at the top of our lungs to the other Nickelback song while that was playing. I think at one point we had all three of us. We must have just confused the shit out of everyone in that strip club.
Yeah.
Well, Nickelback came on at both bars we were at, and it was the same song. And at the second one, me and Scully were just like, ah, no, and you were just like, ah, you got so happy that we were.
There was one club where they played that and backed it up with the Hoobastank song. And it was like, oh, fantastic. Why don't you throw in Avril Lavigne and my night can be complete?
Do you have something against Avril Lavigne?
No, of course not. I'm a 12-year-old girl.
Damn right you are.
I mean, what's wrong with music for 12-year-old girls?
Nothing if you're a 12-year-old girl.
Well, sure. But are you saying that Hoobastank is music for 12-year-old girls?
Absolutely.
My mom likes Hoobastank.
Your mom's a 12-year-old girl. What do you think I like so much about?
True.
She had you when she was negative 15.
Wow. You just gave me an extra 4 years.
Mm. and later, an extra 4 inches.
But I'm punch. Enemy Lasagna says, do you have any new campsite furniture planned? And if not, can you just pretend you do and make it up on the spot now?
Sweet, I can't wait till we put in that dope-ass furniture we've been planning. That's going to be so awesome. People are going to be so excited.
Dope-ass furniture?
Mm-hmm. No, dope-ass furniture.
I think we're
actually going to put the churro extruder in as furniture.
Right. It's sort of pastry butthole.
Right.
Yeah, and
is that the same as like a candy ass or a pie hole?
I don't know. What was in that tub that the guy was extruding the... Was it just oil?
Boiling
in the bottom.
Motor oil. Yeah.
And then he kicked on the crazy
jet
propane jet engine to heat it up.
Yeah, I wish that I would have taken some video of that process, because that was fascinating.
It was fascinating.
I want to replicate it.
And they were so good, but you can only eat half the bag, because after that it was just like, okay, this went from being really good to just making me sick. And even the stray dogs were like, yeah, I ain't eating that.
No, they ate one piece.
We
handed them another piece. They're like, no, thanks.
What is that noise?
That's Aaliyah's phone vibrating. Your phone. Bribating. Bribating.
Undernote says, bookshelf added. Great. Now add another shelf for background content. Odd books dropping randomly in different locations for narrative background of the kingdom. Please. I very much like that idea. I don't know how likely it is to happen. Hey, it's Merle.
Looking at the stash.
Yes, enjoying my mustache.
Do you want a mustache ride?
I'm not giving out mustache rides.
I'm offering for Merle. It's Merle.
Not for free, anyway. That'll be $100.
Son of a bitch.
Amplitude doesn't have $100. I like the idea of, finding books that tell you stuff about the game world. Mostly because it was end up being stuff that I wouldn't have to write. I can work for other people all the live long day. The thing, though, I kind of like that there's a game cost to getting some of that lore. Like the history books in Spooky Raven, If you know which one to read, then you only have to read about the one section in order to... Whoa, what the hell was that?
Entropy.
It was a stick.
That was solid entropy. It just rolled off of
where did that stick come from? Oh, it's because I'm tapping my feet.
It was off the top of Amplitude's
armoire.
Monumental
yeah.
Ode to homosexuality.
Yeah, what is up with that armoire?
Well, that Amplitude
has an armoire.
Amplitude's furniture is like you would find in the kind of hotel that puts rose petals on the sheets.
Yes.
And finding that in a single man's room does kind of make you question his commitment to heterosexuality.
There's no questioning my commitment to heterosexuality. I've done very much to advance
the
cause of straightness.
Of straightness. Yes.
You wouldn't even cough up $100.
Yeah, your heterosexuality is not even worth $100 to you, and that's...
I didn't have it in my
when
pocket.
When she said, big dick, nice for pussy, you said, you'd think. Uh, Blastodon says, yes, Amy Winehouse definitely sounds black. She also sounds awesome. Why are black people so much better than us whiteys at most things that are cool? Yeah, like basketball is cool.
Not getting arrested. Oh, wait.
Oh! choreographed straight razor murder.
Everything you know about black people you got from movies and Michael Jackson videos,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Turning into panthers after destroying cars. That scene in Family Guy where Cleveland is all pissed off because he can't get the taxi to, you know, he can't get the taxi's attention, and then later on he goes nuts and destroys the taxi and then turns into a puma and runs up. Ah, that was just good old Seth MacFarlane right here and now. Gets to Clint Eastwood. That's pretty funny. OMG, it's Tech Clint Eastwood with OMG Tech Lit. capitalized. That's got to be somebody's multi. Yeah. So who are you guys' favorite authors and your favorite books by said authors? I have a certain affinity for Michael Crichton and Congo, respectively. I never actually read Congo. My dad and I on some road trip got it on tape. And it was okay. I don't know. I'm a big Stephen King fan, and probably the Wastelands is my favorite Stephen King book.
I'd go with The Stand.
The Stand? Mm-hmm. The Stand is pretty good. I'm in the middle of The Talisman again. It's good stuff every single time I read it.
It's hard to pick a favorite Stephen King book, and I really enjoyed the last one that he put out before the one he just put out. Leesy's Story.
Oh, I did not read that one.
Leesy's Story was really damn good. I actually liked Desperation and The Regulators a lot more than everybody else.
I liked Desperation, but not The Regulators. Mm. I don't know. I'm a sucker for the tie-ins to Dark Tower and stuff.
Yeah.
And
that spreads wide. I mean, The Stand.
Eyes of the Dragon might be one of my favorite Stephen King's, just because it's so different. And
I like Firestarter more than a lot of Firestarter. I like Firestarter more than I was. I don't know that I would say that Stephen King is my favorite.
It's embarrassing to say it is Stephen King.
The thing is, I've never been self-conscious about liking Stephen King, and I've always told people who hate on Stephen King, you know, because he's pedestrian or populist or pure.
Well, he did. He got kind of rehabilitated academically, where it was. It went from you're not allowed to like him and be a literature snob to it's okay to like him as long as you go, well, I like him, but, you know, I know he's trash.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, but then now people are saying, well, he's actually doing some interesting postmodern meta, blah, 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 and it's okay to teach a college course about him. So, well, all of my favorite writers are not really
okay to teach a college course about it. I mean,
I think you could teach a college course on the Gunslinger series, the way that it ended up playing out.
Yeah. They're supposed to be making movies of those now.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, that is a bad idea.
But none of my favorite authors are, unless I'm making stuff up to make myself sound better, are serious authors.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I like Stephen King, Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett, and Chris Moore. And I, you know, I could say, oh, I really like David Eggers and Nabokov and Tolstoy.
I did. I was big into Douglas Copeland for a while, who's kind of got a little bit of credibility, I guess, but then he went nuts.
I've never read an entire book from him.
Chuck Palahniuk before he went nuts.
Vonnegut.
Yeah, I like Vonnegut, but I don't think that he is particularly important. You know, he's a funny guy, but I don't know. I never got why it was okay to take Vonnegut really seriously. Douglas Adams. I don't know, I like Neil Gaiman well enough.
William Gibson?
Yeah, but again, not the best books in the world, you know. I mean, I read Neuromancer in the entire series when I was in high school, and I'm like, this is good. I like Neal Stephenson, but, again, had his tough when he went nuts.
I still have controversial opinions about Douglas Adams.
Really?
Yeah.
What are those opinions?
he wrote, what, four really good Hitchhiker's Guide books, one completely horrible Hitchhiker's Guide book, one really good Dirk Gently book, and one kind of, Dirk Gently book. And I'm not sure why he's celebrated as much as he is. Like, Hitchhiker's is really funny stuff, but there's not a lot of it, and it's...
Well, I mean, it's the Monty Python of literature, you know? It is sort of eminently quotable and...
But Terry Pratchett does it and still gives you characters that you can care about.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think Douglas Adams is horrible. I just don't think he's as good at book writing as people think he is.
Yeah. I mean, I would not go so far as to say that he is some sort of pillar of Western literature or anything, but I mean, it's... You know, it's books that I'm very glad that I read as a kid. I'm very glad that I had The Hitchhiker's Guide to, you know, sort of the piece of sand that the pearl that is my sense of humor happened to coalesce around, you know,
right.
Because it's...
God knows where I got mine, because I was a good halfway through high school before I saw any Monty Python or read those books, or... Mm-hmm. You know, and
you
doubt that I got that
Bible
sense of humor from
play.
Church, yeah. Well, my dad's sense of humor is exactly the same as mine without the profanity and scatological humor, so...
I see.
Just the being a smartass I kind of picked up from him, I think.
The gunman says, hey guys, what would you do if Robin Williams wanted to come visit you guys?
Is that a trap?
Yeah. A bear trap.
Robin Williams is still funny. I don't care what anybody says.
He's kind of funny.
He's one of those people that keep getting pilloried on the Onion AV Club, which I read regularly, and it's just like, hey, looks like there's a new movie coming out. Oh, it's got Robin Williams in it. I guess it's going to suck, because Robin Williams has never done anything funny or original or cool, and like, that's not at all true, and he's... You know, there's going to be seven RVs to every one Goodwill Hunting, but
I mean,
his presence is not enough to make a movie suck. And his his stand-up is fucking funny. I don't understand why he gets all the shit that he has.
I don't think talking really, really fast and just saying things that are completely nonsensical make you funny. That's pretty much been every single, like, late-night TV appearance thing.
Well, yeah, but, like, his Live at the Met is just hilarious. Like, his impression of what oral sex looks like from a woman's perspective is fucking hilarious.
He does a little too much of the, like, talking in a funny voice for my tastes, you know, like...
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, no.
Sí, es muy fabuloso.
I just think if we had to hang out with him for more than 15 minutes, we'd just be like, dude, go home.
I kind of see Robin Williams the way that I say thanks, The Gun Run, for allowing us to bullshit about Robin Williams for 20 minutes. You know, I think of him like Jim Carrey, right? Like, Robin Williams was good in 1 Hour Photo. He was good in The World According to Garp.
He was good in Good Will Hunting. He was good in that.
I don't remember him from Good Will Hunting, actually.
He won an Academy Award for that.
Oh, okay. I saw that movie once, and it was a long time ago, and I was probably drunk, because I usually am. But no, I mean, it's like, I like his serious stuff the way that I like Jim Carrey's serious stuff, but when Jim Carrey is trying to be funny, he just sort of fails, in my estimation, and I kind of feel that way about
Robin.
So you didn't
like
The Mask?
The Mask... Is David
I don't remember if I saw it all the way through.
Hmm.
Liar Liar was kind of okay.
Up until
the
end of it.
I mean, I don't really...
Sailed off into ridiculousness.
I don't really remember anything about it. I just remember going to see it. And I, you know, the girl that I was dating when all of his movies were coming out was a big fan. And so it's like I saw the Ace Ventura movies when they came out. And it's like, yeah.
The first Ace Ventura I still think was freaking hilarious.
I agree. The second one was a joke, but the first one was...
There are 3 minutes of him doing the talking out of his ass thing, which is what you consider the entire movie to consist of. And the rest of it is just kind of this guy who's kind of obnoxious, and everybody thinks he's ridiculous and full of shit, and it turns out he's just right all the time. And I don't know. That amuses the shit out of me.
I didn't think he was funny in Living Color, either.
Hmm.
Fire Marshal Bill was not a funny character. You know, he did not have a funny catchphrase. He had a funny, annoying sound that he made over and over again, and it is, you know, Homie the Clown, that's how you do repeat catchphrase comedy, and it's pretty funny, you know, and Fire Marshal Bill, just not funny.
We were talking about that at some point this weekend, though, movies that come out where you're like, all right, what the hell is this? And, like, Ace Ventura got put in that category, and so did, like, the first Austin Powers, where when it came out, you're like, where the hell are they coming from
with
this movie?
What planet are these people from?
Yeah,
the Weird Science was kind of the genesis for that discussion, and just because it, watching that movie for the first time is an intensely surreal experience. Like, why are the warriors from Mad Max showing up at this guy's house? And why is one of them secretly really sensitive? And, you know, just there's all kinds of strange little moments in that movie. I think Harold and Kumar and Dude, Where's My Car? Like, they're not precisely stoner comedies either, even though there's drug use in them. I would say they're in a different category than, like, Half-Baked.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't like Half-Baked because it was not so much a, you know, a weed comedy as a comedy about weed, which I just don't think, I don't think the world really needs that. Or if so, they should be like bargain bin DVDs that you can get from the back of High Times, you know, like,
right.
It's just kind of...
I didn't think it was funny because I've never watched it on weed.
Could be true.
It did have its... The celebrity cameos were probably the best part of that.
I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, and I didn't know who anybody in it was when I saw it, so, I mean, it might be funny now. It was like, oh, it was Jon Stewart. Like, you know. I do remember that Bob Saget making fun of him for being in Narcotics Anonymous for weed. But I knew people who'd gone to Narcotics Anonymous for smoking weed, and I'm like, yeah, that's a fucking joke. And you need to stop wasting those people's time because they have actual problems that they need help with. And
I suck dick for coke.
Did you ever suck dick for weed? Maybe you could have given that stripper some weed instead of $100.
It's just never going
to
end.
This is the first time that I went to Mexico where routinely people were offering to sell us weed.
Oh,
that had never happened to me on any other trip.
Well, there was one guy that was going to get us
anything we wanted.
But he was like, weed, blow, coke, smack, horse. And then he just started saying random words.
Midgets.
Blender, opossum, pack rat. I don't know, just somebody asked saying that they can get anything you want. Doesn't that just make you want to
test it?
Like, bring me
a football helmet filled with cottage cheese.
Right. An otter with arthritis. An arthritic otter.
Goodbar says, for me, the giant fried egg in the tower is becoming the new enraged cow. To get the black pepper needed, I have to get a limited chance at fighting the Black Widow, and then with an 80% item drops, I'm still having trouble getting the basket. And the few, I mean, I even used... I even used an odor extractor on the Black Widow, and I've gotten way more encounters, but only one basket so far, and no pepper still. Come on! Well, you could always go get the wand and zap one of the things that zaps into black pepper. That's one thing that you could do. Vorthok says, is the endstone golem in the basement supposed to drop meat? No, I think I screwed that up. Because I meant to... Stone... X, stone golem. Yeah, it is not. In fact, it is supposed to be physically resistant. 50%. And in fact, I gave it the element of fizz resist and 50 meat instead of giving it a special attack of fizz resist and a special attack value of 50. Because any two fields in a row, I think, are the two fields that I'm looking for.
Hmm. You know, any two droids in a row for me?
Are they just not the droids you're looking for?
I always think they are.
That was very clever.
I couldn't think of another celebrity with the last name three. So if you saw, like, Sally and WC hanging out, like, oh, you're clearly the fields that I've been looking for.
Right.
And Strawberry.
Strawberry, yeah. That's fine. And Mrs. Why can't I... No hacks, no per ringtone fees, unlimited custom ringtones for your iPhone. Does this have to, do you have to have a hacked... iToner enables you to quickly transfer custom ringtones for your iPhone without modifying, hacking, or having to reset your iPhone. Well, I if I ever wanted my iPhone to ring out loud, that might be something that I'd want. But thank you. That's a cool link.
Fucking guy with your fucking iPhone. Fucking guy.
Neon Rev says, were you guys aware that more people have voted thumbs up on the most positive definition of RuneScape than have voted at all for KOL's first definition on Urban Dictionary? Also, could I pay you to make Soul Raver? Worth $20 to me, at least, and I'm pretty poor. Well, I don't know. Maybe we should take up a collection. Put a little thermometer on the front page of when this gets up to this level.
We'll start working,
on Soul Raver, yeah.
Then we could do it again, like, we've got it completely finished, and when the thermometer gets up to this level, we'll roll out the first three levels.
Let's see. I'm going to look at, I want to look at RuneScape on Urban Dictionary. And then I want to go in and vote for my favorite definitions of Sideways. RuneScape, most popular definition. This game reminds me of people playing Snake on cell phones. Once you've played it and you get bored, later it's the first thing you think of doing. You know it's a waste of time, but you can't stop. I advise you to never play this unless you want it to consume your soul. I wish I hadn't gotten into it. Huh. Only one of the current free, massively multiplayer games. Recently, a kid sued Jagex for $5,000 because he didn't go to school or anything. He just played this game.
Okay, so the people who write Urban Dictionary definitions now are the kid who did the Randy Beeman's mom thing from Animaniacs. One time, this kid, that's as far as I wanted to take
that. That's as far as you want to take that?
Yeah. I can't just give it away. The Moves claims that the actual name for the taint is the Grundle, which I kind of doubt. If it was the Grendel, that would... Yeah. Because how often are you going to encounter that?
Right, the Grundle's mother.
Why are they trying to get you all worked up on this whole taint thing again?
I don't know. I wasn't planning on it, actually. Perineum, guys. Perineum.
Nifkin.
According to Wikipedia, it's also called the Gooch. But to me, to me, that will always be the
wait,
bully
according
from
to
different strokes.
Wikipedia? Is the thing about the taint?
I looked up perineum on Wikipedia. And that's
the Jackass guys referred to it as the Gooch. That's why that one golf cart that they crashed in Jackass 1 was called the Gooch.
I see. Taint slang, U.S. English slang for perineum. Taint your balls and taint your ass. Oh, boy. That is...
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
I can't see the Gooch as anything other than the kid who beat up Arnold on different strokes. So I have a hard time imagining someone cleansing or licking the Gooch.
Wow, this diagram is pretty interesting. on the Wikipedia article for perineum, it's got a guy sort of cut open at the asshole, from his asshole to his penis. You can sort of see everything there, and there's a thing that looks like it says elevator ant, or maybe no levator ani. That makes more sense.
Yeah,
we should also make a game called Elevator Ant, which is like elevator action, except you're trying to make your way from a guy's asshole to his penis.
Right.
Okay, how much will you pay us to make that game? Vashorion says it's the middle class, which is a big range of incomes, end up paying all the taxes. Grethko points out a bug which I believe is fixed. Whiskeyjack says, suggestion for Divine Flute. Put the use link on the flute itself, and then have it send you to a screen where it asks you which booze you'd like to drink in it. As it stands, anyone who'd like to save the flute for another drink has to put it in their closet or their store or display case. That just won't work in hardcore Ronin or which I'm assuming means Bad Moon. The way that was a very late addition to the Librem, and it's not exactly as elegant as I'd like it to be. Landar asks a question that I would also like to ask you. How do you pronounce T-E-Q-I-W-I-L-A?
Tequiwila.
Tequiwila. Oh, because it's got it's kiwi.
Yeah.
It's tequila with the key made into kiwi. Mailbox Head says, can you make it so that new accounts cannot access chat until 120 minutes or so after they're created? That would significantly cut chat asshattery. Yeah, but it would also be a pretty unfriendly thing to do to genuine new players. And so, you know, like a lot of things, you know, we could be bigger assholes. And it would solve some problems, but, you know, it would probably do more damage to the overall feeling, man. It would harsh the buzz. It would harsh the vibe. There's got to be another word for harsh that is an actual verb.
Taint.
Yes. Vashorian says, also, Jick is right. Vibrate on the phone is the way to go. Owned.
As I said before, unless you want to get calls while your phone is not on your person.
Which I don't.
Yeah.
I mean...
And that's been a problem before. We're like, wow, the entire game is on fire. I sure wish somebody could get a hold of Jick right now.
The entire game is not accessible. Jick's at the movies. Can't get a hold of him. Remember that one? I remember that one. I'm just saying.
What was I seeing?
I don't remember what you were seeing.
Mine is just always, if I want to get in touch with you before you wake up in the morning, all I can do is drive to your house and ring your doorbell.
Well.
Which I can't really do anymore.
Leave me alone.
You know, that's just very easy. With great mansion comes great responsibility.
Another fan says, was the whole Make Spooky Raven Ben Franklin a spontaneous radio show joke which got in-game recognition or something else? Because, man, it is random. Oh, I don't know. We were just deciding what he was going to look like, and I made him Ben Franklin. I don't remember if that came from a radio show or not. Dog Dog Tire says, would you rather rewrite the entire fight script or eat a handful of smegma? Can't I do both?
Well, you do it faster if you were typing with both hands. Although your one-handed typing is pretty good.
Yeah. Another fan says, about the whole anime thing on the last show, you guys could maybe try watching Avatar: The Last Airbender. Kids show, but it's still cool in my lowly opinion.
But Avatar isn't anime, it's great.
Is it an American
it's
show?
It's referred to as phonime, which is kind of annoying. It's F-A-U-X-N-I-M-E, but yeah, it's an American show made with Japanese-y look and feel to it.
It's not like pho-nime, like a stop motion footage of beef broth with raw meat in it. come on.
I just zoned out.
You're just leaving me swinging, huh?
Yeah.
So. Rusano Greenstripe says, a saw blade fragment is capable of causing bleeding on a heavy keg tank. What is it bleeding? And it's not beer, since it's an empty keg. No, it has people inside it.
Yeah.
It's blood from the orcs.
No blood for orcs.
Can we do a song break with some of the other...
Absolutely. Some of the other strip songs featured at the Mexican strip
bars. Including a death metal cover of an ABBA song.
That's next. This is Beseech doing ABBA's Gimme, 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 another song we heard about 15 times at...
Whoa, you found this?
Yes. Yes, the Dread Pirate Wesley sent it to me.
Wow. Yeah.
We also have some System of a Down,
some Rammstein.
Yes, that's up there too. And the Pixies have to get played at some point. Cause
you should play just the Pixies 6 times.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a little bit. Thank you.
Stop.
Keine Nippel lecken und keine
meine Falte zum Verstecken. Niemand gab mir einen Namen, gezeugt in Hass und ohne Samen. Der Mutter, die mich nie geboren, hab ich heute Nacht geschworen. Ich werd ihr eine Krankheit schenken und sie danach im Verlust versenken.
Just like being Mutter. Back in Babes.
Mutter.
Yeah.
Mutter.
It's like Loon's on the stage. It's
I just can't get that ABBA cover out of my head.
No.
And it's good because you can sing it after you've been in a smoky strip club for 4 or 5 hours. It did make me realize how grateful I am that you can't smoke in bars anymore, kind of anywhere in the U.S.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember it being bad at all.
All of my clothes. Like, the reason I was wearing shorts on Sunday was
that's true.
I just couldn't put those pants on again.
Yeah, my clothes did kind of smell. And my hair.
Yeah.
Sort of nasty.
My hair smelled too.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. You enjoy having your clothes reek like smoke?
It was nice to be able to do that. That's all.
Yeah, it was nice, but then I smoked like 8 times the cigarettes I would normally smoke on a night out, and I don't really see that as a good thing.
No. I had fun. I had a good time in Mexico. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Man. It was nothing if not good fun. The only thing that could have made it better was a swimmable ocean.
Yes, it would have been nice if it was warm enough to swim.
The hot tub was nice.
Yeah, it was actually too hot. I wanted to get out of
the hot tub.
Yeah,
it was. I don't know. Usually I'm the first one to spend like 5 minutes in a hot tub and go, oh, okay, that was fun. But that one seemed to be cool enough that I could staying there for a while.
The margaritas at the hotel bar were fantastic.
And the conversation.
it was probably poor decision-making skills on my part, starting that night with 5 margaritas at the hotel bar before we even went anywhere.
Hell, man. The pretentious artist's claim is that it is the fact that you are at sea level, which I could see that you just drink so much more. I woke up. Why do I have a headache? Oh, yeah, I had 15 beers yesterday.
Right.
Never got drunk the entire time. You know, like, it's...
And, like, a shot and 8 or 9 beers between... Like, between 10 and 3, and that should have been plenty to get me fucked up, but I didn't feel it at all.
You know, and I could have... you know, we used to go from Prescott, which is at, you know, 6,000 feet to sea level, and drink, and it was like, you know, now, when I go to Prescott and drink beer, I get drunk more quickly, but Phoenix isn't that high up compared to sea level.
Yeah.
And, you know, so...
Tala was drunk.
Yeah. You could have been the next guy who beats her.
He didn't beat her. He just choked her out.
Yeah, that was different.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Tommy Tom says, you could resolve the narrative problem of not being able to use tomes in Bad Moon by saying it's too dark to read by bad moonlight. That's funny. Let's see. Vacharyan says, Scully, here's something grammatical to get upset about. I've noticed an increase in people disregarding plurals when using verbs, so saying there is many things wrong is more common than saying there are. Also, can you give me a good explanation that I can give to a very intelligent friend on why funner is not a word? I tried the you sound like an idiot approach, but he argued that it made functional sense to conjugate it that way. There are a lot of things in English that make functional sense but are incorrect.
Yeah. I don't know, it doesn't really bother me. Something like that just seems colloquial. What bothers me more are the discrepancies between spoken English and written English and people not knowing that they exist.
Could of.
Yeah, and the whole taller than things. It doesn't much bother me if somebody says, you know, there's problems here.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
I mean, and also, a lot of the time, you start a sentence without the entire sentence in your head, and... Whereas I feel like I take a great deal of care to make all of my sentences make sense, no matter how many independent clauses there are in them, and no matter where I'm, you know.
Don't you mean how many clauses there is in them?
How many clauses there am. But I don't expect other people to do that when they're speaking, so I'm not going to get pissed off at somebody if they start a sentence and I'm like, you know, 20 seconds ago you started a little bit of... subject-verb disagreement that your mouth wrote a subject-verb check that your ass couldn't agree with.
Now, I've noticed that I learned fairly early on that nobody will ever thank you for correcting their grammar in spoken word. Like, my mother did it to me, but she did it so that I would know all that stuff so that I could use it later, not so I could be a dick about correcting other people's speech.
Yeah, nobody likes that guy.
But it took me a good 8, 9, 20 years to figure that out.
Same.
I think you mean he and I are going to the store. I think you mean I'm going to punch you in the nuts.
Are there other words like fun that the comparative requires more? I mean, apt.
Stupid.
Are some words more apt to require? Are some words apter? You can't say stupider?
No. I don't think you should.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound wrong to me at all.
That's because...
stupidest is...
That's because you go to Jupiter to get more stupider.
Is funnest a word?
No.
But stupidest is. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I don't feel like that's wrong at all. Or perhaps it's the stupidest thing I've ever said. Or at least a little stupider.
I'm trying to think how to phrase a Wikipedia query that would yield the...
Yeah. I hate it. It's a testament to our modern age that it really bothers me when I want to know something that there is no good way to find out on the internet.
Right. It also somewhat bothers me that I don't know anything if I don't have an internet connection. So just when we were growing up, if we didn't know the lyrics to a song and couldn't check the liner notes, we just didn't know. If we didn't recognize somebody in a movie and couldn't place them, we would have to wait until the credits rolled to figure out who it was. And
then even then, we probably didn't know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'd have to go home and fast-forward one of our VHSs to the credits to see if it was the same guy.
So I got very used to very quick not having that itch for information, just being able to immediately scratch that edge. And it was kind of weird in Mexico, watching Men in Black. It's like, oh, she looks so familiar. I'll just go on IMDb. Oh, my God.
On the Men in Black channel, no less. Like
somebody cut off one of my hands.
Yeah,
there was also a TV channel in Mexico that was AXN, pronounced
Action.
That showed nothing but Men in Black and Men in Black 2.
That's pretty funny. It really was.
It totally was.
Like, there was a solid 24-hour period.
Yeah.
Like, I fell asleep to Men in Black 2 and woke up and Men in Black 1 was starting again. So I saw all of both of them, but not sequentially, like the second half of the second one and the first half of the first one.
There were so many little weird things like that on this trip. It was great.
Naked Juice says, hey, JNS, I think you would like the show The L Word, especially Scully. Well, Jick, too, because there's lots of lesbian sex, but it's also a really good show overall, and the first four seasons are on DVD.
So I wouldn't like it because there's lesbian sex. I would like it because I'm a lesbian, and it's a show about lesbians.
Well, no, you're sensitive.
Do I seem thick-skinned?
And Naked Juice says, after the Times Square ball drop on New Year's, some dude was singing Hava Nagila in the subway while playing it on an accordion, but I think he was Korean. What, Koreans can't be Jews?
See, when he said that in chat, that was my response, too.
Mr. Smoothie says, just a quick note to applaud the new Librem. The items are extremely cool, the items are an extremely cool add-on for Disco Bandits with funk slinging. Well, I... And Naked Jew also says, whatever happened to the Tasmanian Dervish idea, Jick? And when do we get to use gauze hammocks? I still thought that the Tasmanian Dervish was pretty funny.
What was the...
Just a guy with a sword standing totally still because dervishes whirl clockwise and Tasmanian devils whirl counterclockwise. So, obviously, combinatorial offspring of them would just stand there.
Right.
Grethko says, can we have a kind of book of book summoning item that only creates identical items? Well, I mean, you can have Rogue Swarmer. Yeah, lots of people asking about those disablements. And so far, everyone that was even marginally questionable has been has borne out to be completely justified. So,
yeah, it was interesting. People talking about one of those players said there in the forum thread, there were three or four posts going, what the fuck? They disabled this person for winning big on the MMG. Why would somebody do that? And I posted, well, we didn't do that. They were also exploiting this bug. Like, oh, so they won big on the MMG and exploited the bug? Like, no, I think they might have won medium on the MMG and then got a lot of meat from the bug.
Some of them did, but, I guess you can say, I honestly feel like one of the people who was sort of renowned for getting all this money by winning big on the MMG was actually a pretty significant MMG loser, if I was reading the data right.
Huh.
I don't actually know how it worked, but I feel like negative $4 billion is a low number and not a high number, so
yeah.
That's just really weird. But yeah, it's...
And there was also the but Boozer Bear thing in that thread, which
Riff's reply to that was pretty satisfactory.
For those who didn't see it, it's the rules of whether you got to keep stuff and how we dealt with bug exploiting were substantially different when there were fewer players and substantially less investment on the account of those players.
And also,
and he reported everything.
And also, Boozer Bear was sort of always acting in the best interest of the game. He wasn't just, what happened here was a lot of people duped meat and then used it to buy out rares and give them to people. So it's like just the worst possible thing that you can do for the economy.
And also telling other people, hey, check it out.
Yeah, hey, here's this way to make it. Although that particular one did not get shared. There were two Infinite Meat bugs. Oh. One of which was a vulnerability in Xeno's code, and one of which was a vulnerability in my code. So we're
code, by the way, still has 100% track
solid. Yep. I guess it does. So it's the second bug got spread around. The second bug got, it was a little tedious to actually gain infinite meat via that bug, so it got fucking automated. mafia scripts were published. And,
you almost went Hugo Weaving there.
Mafia scripts were published. Mr. Anderson, published. Mr. Underhill.
Let's see. Shania Twain says, so how are your holidays? Mine were pretty good, Shania Twain. How are yours?
I'd like to say that Shania Twain is still the one I come to and still the one I run to. And I don't know any lyrics to that song. Of course I don't.
Gamelli says, I'm having a band of crippled Chinese orphans search the sea for post-plinth stuff. Would you let me know if they're wasting their time? We're behind on clothes for Kathy Lee. Yeah. I believe that the remainder of the stuff that is to discover there can be discovered without setting foot on the poop deck at this point. Shadow Song says, can you please fix the no sapling issue with pre-NS 13 characters? I have a map and a fertilizer, but the sapling won't appear. Spent more than 300 adventures there. Yeah, the problem is fixing that. It would be a quick fix, but it would, the way it stands now, it creates a little bit of urgency in me to deal with the sort of RNG swinginess and uninterestingness of the current unlocking the temple mechanic. And this is just sort of irrelevant. It used to be possible to just ignore the hidden temple, and we should not let people do that anymore. So, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. Newbie says, why can't we wear tidy whities as a hat? It would be perfect with the towel / makeshift cape.
Well, you can, but you have to put them on as pants first and then find the monster that gives you the atomic wedgie.
That's pretty funny. Grethko says, how about a drink called a gin, D-J-I-N-N, in tonic that has the picture of an Aladdin-style lamp? Or a gin who's really into tonic?
That was one of my favorite jokes on asymmetric.net.
Saucer says, is it an oasis, like the zone is named on the map, or the oasis, as in what appears in your last adventure? Or C, nobody cares.
I'm going to have to go with C.
Yeah.
Well, you encounter an oasis on the map, you adventure in the oasis for X number of turns, right?
I don't know that there are any other such discrepancies in the name of the zone and the link in the name of the zone. Volk says, I've noticed something strange. When you fight a green op soldier or an elite fire spinner, if they get the jump on you and get the toad in the hole or on fire effect on the first round of combat, it doesn't do damage to you during that round. If you get it during any other round of combat, it does do damage to you that same round. Bug? He says, on a related note, I think using a seltzer in combat should end the on fire effect. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
I might support that.
Putineska says, when you're already on the trail and try to cast Transcendental Faction, why does it still take the MP even though it does nothing? That probably shouldn't happen. It's the way that skills work, if there is some reason for you not using the skill other than you don't have the skill, the code is like many things in the fight script, less than elegant. I've been doing a lot of work on the fight script lately. We may get it beaten into shape yet. Doing some things that allow us greater flexibility with some stuff that monsters do, and not so many exception cases.
You're doing some things.
Doing
to enable some stuff.
Yeah. Stonecheek points out, he says, hey, I was wondering if the BHH tome should really be considered a tome or if the name should be changed because of the new bookshelf thingy. The name probably should be changed. People are talking about how, well, you know, it's a combat skill, so it makes sense that it's different, but, you know.
It could be a codex or a...
Yeah.
Or some kotex or...
We came up with something that we liked, didn't we?
The folio of... Like Frazzlebaz's frigid folio.
Right. Folio. Or fiend folio. It was one of the first edition AD&D monster books that had all the weird ass monsters in it. It's where the Githzerai and the Githyanki came from, though. Githyanki.
Go Gith home.
Wow, there are a lot of people asking about these disablings. Yeah, a lot of questions that came in today. Riley says, play some Weird Al time if you want to knight are cool too.
Right then.
Good. Godscream says, you made references to some great bands. For that, I should give you credit. But why is it that I have not yet seen any references to Rammstein? Is it Rammstein or Rammstein? It's Rammstein.
I can.
Is it E-I-N or
I-E? I always go that. Oh, here's
Rammstein.
Phoenix is a fan. What do you say?
Is it?
All right.
She says Rammstein.
I think it would probably be though because all of their lyrics are in German, so it would be kind of difficult for us to quote their lyrics in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Although we did come up with a lot of jokes.
A lot of Duhast.
It was because we went by this place that was called The Dugout, and Jake, unsarcastically first, right?
So yeah, no.
Dugout?
The way that the sign was, was on a different line than the other ten. Like, it was as though it was like a lowercase u, because the letters were just arranged in a very strange way on the sign. I had seen it before. I knew it was The Dugout. If you would ask me, but I don't know. Maybe it was that I had just been riding in a car for 4 hours, and I'm just like, when do we get to the strip club? Yeah, so.
Dugout,
yeah.
So we're just quoting the sign. Karaoke. Off-track betting.
Do.
Pool tables.
Off-track betting. Can you bet on, like, horse races in Kentucky from...
I'm sure you can.
I don't know, from those places. Sports book. E-I-N, indeed. Rammstein, indeed. Let's see. Godscream then sends several more messages correcting all his typos. But thank you. Minty Giant says, to date, how many hits have you had at that Infinity Plus One site, Jake? I don't know. Not a whole lot. It's actually has just gotten moved over to its new home at Telecult.com, which is a website under construction by Dot Galactic, who is learning HTML by making a site. So it's looking very 90s. But... let's see. Yeah. Approximately how long did you wait between the time that you conceived of loathing and the time when you began to apply it? How long did the formative programming take? And then when you thought of loathing, did you have a vision and an attempt to make it reality, or did you have a general idea that continued to grow? Kind of both. I wanted there to be a game that was fun and funny. Basically I thought of it and started work. I was actually looking the other day, the last thing that I worked on before I started working on KOL was this little JavaScript game called Hi, I'm a Vampire. Kind of thing that you would like, Amplitude.
What?
You'd be like, hi, I'm a gay purple vampire. Allow me to present my leg as truth. As proof.
Your proof.
Truth.
Proofs.
Trist. it's funny. I was going to allow you to choose your nemesis at the beginning of the game, and you could either get Vampire Hunter B, which was B. Arthur, or Vampire Hunter T, which was Mr. T, or I don't remember, maybe Vampire Hunter D, which would be Vampire Hunter D's head. But yeah, it was kind of Dope Warsy. Did you ever play Dope Wars?
Yeah, I think I have.
Very, very simple game where it was the gameplay consisted entirely of moving between like six or seven cities, all of which had various drugs at various places. Right. And it cost you a certain amount of money to get from city to city. You would buy drugs one place and sell them. So it was a very, very limited sort of Trade Wars game, but it was just... It was like it had heroin in it. And that's funny, because it did. It was a game that I played the absolute shit out of on my Palm Pilot. I do not know why it was so fun, but I was like, yeah, I want to make something like that. You know, only... Let's have, you know, be a vampire, and, you know, there's like a grid, like a 3x3 grid where, you know, one is like Lefty's store where he sells stuff to vampires, and one of them is your coffin, and one of them is the blood bank. And the premise of gameplay was that you would go around to different locations in town attacking victims, you know, and taking their wallets and their blood, and then you could go sell your excess blood for money, for additional money that you could use to buy, like, you know, potions that temporarily made you stronger or more blood capacity or whatever. I mean, it's a very simple kind of strategy game. But then, I thought about Loathing. I was like, you know, I'm gonna make this game that I'm thinking about, and then I spent about a week putting it together. I challenged myself to release it to the public after a week, no matter how much of it was done, and that forced me into that work on stuff to completion individually mindset, which is kind of how we operate, right? It's not like, I mean, well, not with NS13. NS13 is an example of working the way normal software development works, where we have this huge, big, interrelated thing that, you know, can't go out until it's all done. But, yeah, formative programming took a week, but it was the merest fraction of what it is now. Ooh, a new Super Mega. Odeem says, so do you guys believe in there being a winter Eanmas? I mean, a holiday to celebrate video games at all, or are you against it? I don't know.
I'm kind of against the making new terms for Christmas by mashing up holiday names. Like, I actually had a couple of people this year say to me unironically, Happy Krimbo Kwan Zakrismica. I was just like, shut the fuck up. Pick one and wish me a happy it, and I will be fine at being wished a happy whatever. It's, you know, not that I like to go off on rants about stuff that doesn't matter, but...
Rob Mortar 2 says, where in the world of Carmen Sandiego? where in the world of Carmen Sandiego what? Gleaves asks, what's my favorite Metroid game? Zero Mission, probably. More stuff about the if you lost meat at the MMG to people who got disabled for exploiting this bug, no, you cannot have your meat back.
Wow.
That's not how the MMG works. Feng Shui says, the bookshelf is the best thing since the pirates, which is the best thing since before NS13. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Well, we will. Let's see. Anika Ju says, Amplitude, if you do another power hour, can I get in on the condition that I drink tequila instead of beer? 60 shots of tequila?
No, I'm not going to be responsible for somebody.
Yeah, even with the waiver signed, I just wouldn't feel comfortable in that on a moral level.
No, I mean, no.
Yeah, we should do a power hour, but from Rocky Point, where apparently we could all drink 12 beers in an hour.
Yeah.
It would kind of be boring, though, because we would start out the show like, hey, guys, it's a show, and we'd end the show. Well,
still a show.
Yep, hey. Good night.
We will do another power hour. I can't believe that over 3 years, it was November of 2004, and people are still asking when the next power hour is. So we will do another power hour, I promise. It will happen when I'm not on the air at 10 o'clock in the morning. Basically, I don't drink during my show anymore. It's too early. It's just not... I can't do it in good conscience.
Potsticker says, I was wondering if the Traveling Trader is scheduled to come back to the Kingdom anytime soon. I've been playing KOL for only 6 days now. You know, we never really know. I'm not against bringing back the traveling trader, but I'm also, you know, not going to bring him back if we don't have a good idea for something for him to bring, right? So, and he says, and this is my first time hearing your show. I am extremely impressed so far. And apparently, fairly easily impressed.
Which is how we like them. Yeah.
That is how we like our radio listeners. Easily amused and...
you know, I wish I was like you. Easily amused.
Mm-hmm. All in all, it's... Oh, well.
I found my nest of salt.
What?
That song. I wish I was like you, easily amused, found my nest of salt. Everything's my fault, right?
Hmm. I don't know. Gnome Squid says, what operating system do you use? I use Windows XP on everything except my computer at home, which has goddamn Vista on it.
I think that... if I do end up getting a new laptop in the next couple of days, I'm going to take Merle up on his offer to just wipe it and replace all of the software with the XP software that he has.
Yeah.
His 5 minutes with Vista made me want to rip my own lungs out.
If you spent 7 minutes with it in the closet, that would be heavenly.
That would be confusing.
Remember that band Heavenly? Are you familiar with the band Heavenly?
No.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't really sound like you're... It's not earlier kind of thing.
What was it?
They were like
music for straight guys.
Yeah.
I hate you, sons music of bitches.
You know what's funny is guys who like it. Getting blowjobs from girls.
We've been making so much fun of him for the entire Mexico trip, and his crimes are being told he has a big dick by somebody who's actively touching it and getting propositioned for sex.
Yeah, that, like, you know, I mean, the best compliment, like I said, that I was able to get out of any of the strippers was, your wife is very sexy. So, you know, you're something special.
I am. I know. That's what my mommy always said when she was saying that I'm handsome and stuff. But I have been getting the brunt of a lot of jokes. And I know... All right.
Yeah, you got some stranger making out with you. Ha ha, fag.
Where are you guys coming from? One of my favorite quotes from the weekend. So, you're not poaching the player database anymore? I don't know where it comes from. I really don't. Is it the armoire? Is it the four-post bed? Is it the shoe collection?
Yeah, maybe we need to drastically reevaluate our lives.
You do have a lot of shoes for a dude. But then again, so do I.
But none of your shoes have 3-inch heels and flames coming up the fucking sides.
Well, that's true.
Come on, man.
They're not heels.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally gay.
They're platforms.
Right, so they're 3-inch heels and 3-inch soles. Well, yeah, but a normal person would have gone, wow, these look really, really more gay than I thought they would, so I'm going to return them.
They were really, really gay,
so I'm going to wear them a lot.
Everywhere that I go.
No, they've sat in the closet, and I showed them to people, look at how gay these shoes are, and then I don't wear them. I haven't worn them anywhere.
I've seen you wear those shoes.
No,
on multiple occasions.
What, which ones? The flame?
Which is it, Senator?
The flame ones I did wear. I'm talking about a different pair. They're in the closet right now. Along with me. I'll hang myself before you do, sir.
Mythman 611 asks, hey, Jake, are you the guru god of ganja, Ramashalanka Lanka Ravi Shankar? No, I am, however, the Mickey Maori minstrel, and my wife is the high priestess of tinsel. We didn't have tinsel on our tree. And the wife switched me from garland to ribbon.
Really? Oh, like the bows?
This is a conversation that's probably gay enough to get you interested.
Yeah, I am.
But you know, what I always had when I was a kid was the... it looked like a feather boa, kind of.
About an inch
and a half in diameter.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it was like tinsel, but in snake form.
It's a garland.
It's a garland, yeah. I think garland... A garland is more like a structural word than any particular substance. I mean, you could have a garland of... Like a garland of laurels.
They make like
a garland of Judy's.
It's like a wreath for your head, I think, is what a garland is.
Thank you, Phoenix. Everybody else just let that slide right by.
I did not catch it because I was all wrapped up in my own sentence, but I get it now. And, yeah. Yeah, you know. Judy Garland, I should have known. I should have known that would come up in this bedroom. friend of Judy.
You know, I've never put any tinsel or garland or ribbon on the tree.
Really?
Just all of the ornaments that Jess has collected through her travels and I've collected through my travels and some lights, and by God, that was good enough for us.
See, I like a simple design ethic on a Christmas tree. I don't like that, you know, Zach's piano recital 1987 ornament that we got, you know, that's great. My mom likes those, and, you know, someday I'll have kids, and they'll have all kinds of random Christmas tree ornament crap that they get or make at school, and that'll go on the Christmas tree, because, like, hey, kid, we remember when you were a kid, and yay Christmas, mm-hmm. or whatever, but, like, now, you know, I just like the sort of simple glass ball cheap ornaments. I tend to like to stick to one color, although the wife insisted that we get two colors.
Usually two, complementary colors, green and red.
Yeah, I like the
it's silver and blue this year.
Nice. Dallas
got everyone wishes for silver and blue. Now, I like the eclectic look of, you know, all the weird shit that she made in kindergarten, all the weird shit that I made in kindergarten.
Some people do. It's just, it's not... The one thing that I wish... Although, apparently, you can get these. We had this string of... bubble lights.
The
little bulb that heats up the orange liquid and mm-hmm. that makes the liquid boil inside the glass ampule. Those are cool. And apparently that you couldn't get them for a long time because of some, you know, sort of fire hazard in the original design, but they're making them again, and you can get them again.
I'd like to see them on a string of lights that's longer than one.
Yeah. Having the whole tree done with those, they did run really, really hot, as I recall. Like, a lot of my sort of smell of Christmas, I think, was Christmas tree kind of singeing around,
right.
You know, or at least being heated up by those lights. But again, I'm also, you know, this year we left the Christmas lights on pretty much the whole time, but when I was a kid, they were only on for, you know, the couple hours that everybody was home and awake at the same time, so it was like not... You know, we would notice if it started catching fire. Would have burned down the whole trailer, too.
Yep.
I love my Star Wars ornaments that I have on the tree downstairs.
You got Star Wars ornaments?
You should have seen them. There's the Vader, and if you hit the little button...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, I did see that. Yeah.
There's a Wookiee. There's a Han Solo. It's great.
NoTech says, I fully support a police auction. Exploiters are very likely to have those items that make awesome raffle prizes. Yeah, you know, and the advantage to doing that now is that raffling off... those items would both get those items back out into the trade economy and sink a lot of the meat that was generated, and so...
Right.
We'll see. I don't remember if we can do multiple second prizes in a day. I'll have to ask Zeno if that... I know we can do a batch of... We could do, like, you know, five of something in a day, which maybe we should just look at what those people have, dump them all into a single table and see, you know, we'll do... You know, today the secondary prizes are five, you know, whatever they have, you know. I don't know. But we are not going to make a habit of doing that on everybody that we disable. It's just making an exception. MME says, I'd be happy to give an orphan hand turkey a good home. Yeah. And NoTech also says that. Police raffle, not police auction. I also kept describing it as an auction instead of a raffle. I kind of liked, as a meat sink idea, Dot Galactic suggested a long time ago, the silent but deadly auction, where it's a silent auction, you bid a certain amount of meat, and only the person who bid the most meat gets the item, but everybody loses the meat that they bid.
Mm.
So it's like, it's kind of mean, but it would...
I've seen them where the person who bid right underneath the winner also has to put up the money and not get the item, but I haven't seen it with everybody losing their meat. Because then you kind of have this game of how high do you really want it bid.
Yeah. Which, you know, works as a sink.
Yeah.
The silent auction thing would be kind of interesting, too. The raffle is more equitable in terms of
Yeah.
Plus, we already have the mechanic.
Yeah, and I think that we should have an auction house sooner or later, but I don't think this should be the reason that we have an auction house.
No, a player auction house. I honestly, I don't know. I kind of like the flea market, and I know a lot of people like the flea market. I do not want an auction house, a mall, and a flea market. And I don't want to get rid of the mall. So, the thing about the auction house compared to the flea market is that you are probably never going to get screwed putting something in the auction house. The way that you'll get screwed in the auction house is the way that, like, I get screwed in World of Warcraft's auction house, which is not doing any research on how much I should sell something for, mm-hmm. putting it in for a buyout price that's too low. Because I never put anything in without buyout prices, because I never buy anything without buyout prices. I kind of treat the auction house, and I kind of would, I think, treat an auction house in this game like a mall, basically. Because I like the, I like the instant gratification. Neviazin says, I'm still thinking the idea for having an item called That Ass, and then a Tap That link.
Hmm. Inventory. You can just pretend that that's what the Black Lotus is.
Enter the Wumpa says, your assertion that imaginary numbers won't ever bother me again has made me the happiest I've felt since I found out you could buy buffalo wing sauce without the buffalo wing. Thank you. Well, you go, Enter the Wumpus. Yeah, Topspin says, I'm really enjoying the new pirate content, but I can't get over the fact that charm bracelets can't have more than one charm on them. Girls usually have a single bracelet with multiple charms on them. I mean, yeah, that's true, but I didn't want to have to make X items where X is, you know, 5 times, or, you know, 7, or however many charm bracelets are there, 7 or 8, you know, times itself. And Naked Jew says he would say that Slaughterhouse 5 is the book that made it okay to take Vonnegut seriously.
Yeah. I'm still kind of twitching from this Irons of Titan.
Chicky says Chapter 2 of Long Dark Tea Time is freaking brilliant. I really liked them both. I did not think that there was a... Mostly Harmless was terrible, but I think it was terrible on purpose.
Yeah, but what kind of a dick move is that?
Well...
To, like... I understand that it was, you fuckers want another Hitchhiker's book? Here's another fucking Hitchhiker's book. But why would you do that? Why would you just not put out another book?
Yeah, I agree.
That I lost a lot of respect for him at that point. I think it's just that they're, what with there only being 4 good books in the trilogy, I've read them so much that they've lost any lasting value for me. It's just, like, I got the radio shows to listen to, and listened halfway through, and it's like, I already know how the story goes, so...
Yeah.
Why bother?
Simon Jester says, also, Edgar Allan Poe is a homosexual. I have not yet played K.O. Lame. I need to. I need to download that at home and play it.
What is K.O. Lame?
That's apparently a fan game that's been created.
Hmm.
Ashelon says, so when the gauze hammock is implemented, will it be an either-or of the beanbag or implemented next to it? Going to redesign the campground again? it'll be either-or with the beanbag. That was the intent. It is the hit point equivalent to the beanbag. I don't know, though. It just doesn't really fit with my eventual plans for the way resting in the campsite works, which kind of sucks, but... Yeah, we'll see. I Have Herpes 2 says, if you type Grundle into Wikipedia, it redirects to Perineum.
That's huh.
Mistress of the Obvious says, I'm someone whose long-term goal is to get a turkey now gone from the mall. How about a Mr. Store raffle for old familiars that go straight into the winner's terrarium? Cost a Mr. A.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, as she suggested, it could be a limit of 1 ticket per player per month, or however often it was held, so people had a more even chance at one. I would feel ethically really, really kind of greasy about putting in anything that consumed Mr. A's that didn't give you anything that stuck with you. And I also don't... I don't know. You know, this is the first time it's happened, basically. Are there still Dark Jills in the mall? Let's see. Dark Jill. Yep, there is only one Dark Jill in the mall for a billion meat, so not really. We're only just now starting to run out of anything in the economy, so it's going to be interesting to see how people feel about that.
I think that we should just...
are we time to go?
Stop talking about stuff and let Icepec and get on.
Okay, sorry. I was just having so much fun.
Yeah, I know. This is good. This is the first time we've all three of us have been on the air on the show.
I think it is.
Yeah. No, we did one from the office.
But I was on mic.
Well, let's try.
Just saying. All right. Say goodbye to the people's...
What I'm saying is big dick, good for my pussy.
You're not saying it right.
Well, the way you described it was big dick, good for my pussy, which I really don't think that's how it came out.
Yeah,
it
really big dick, was. But where is Moose and Squirrel?
It's you have big dick, see? Is good for my pussy. That's how it went. I could still see her smiling when she said it. It was so scary, but yet so wonderful.
Good night, everybody.
Amplis will be on the air tomorrow, 10 to 1 Arizona time.
I might join you for that if you're...
Yeah, I'll be here. All right, stay tuned for Icepec. See you guys later.